we've seen repeatedly that the Ram, one of the great strengths the Ramban brings to our learning of Chumash is to introduce us to looking at the bigger picture and not just, not only to look locally at this pasuk or that pasuk, but to see what a whole parasha means or what a whole sefer means. And there's a chiddush Ramban has that at the same time is a chiddush in methodology of learning Chumash, and a chiddush in machshava of mitzvahs and Chumash, and a chiddush in practically how to look at how the Torah is seeking to shape us, and begins perhaps, or brings us to, it begins with looking at things with a bigger scope, and will get us to looking at things with an even bigger scope, which is why you see in this packet, there are three pages. The Ramban's Hakdama to Shmos as a whole, the Sefer Shmos. I think we mentioned, we discussed when we began to learn Ramban al-Torah at the beginning of the year, that the Ramban, as far as I know, is the first one to write Hakdamas to Svar. The first one to draw our attention to what is the Sefer, what is Bereishis about, what is Shmos about, what is the Yikra about, and do that consistently. That already bespeaks a bigger picture. So we're going to take a look at the Hakdama. We're going to take a peek at Ramban beginning Vayakel, but I want to begin with this week's parsha. I want to begin with the opening lines of what he says in Parshas Truma. We'll read what he says al derech nigla. If you could stow the breakfast, thank you so much. And we're even going to take a peek, even though we're going to not follow instructions for just a moment. Pass this down. Thank you so much. You know, the Ramban tells us instructions to the reader and in the Hakdama to the Perush, but once it says Sod, once it says Kabbalah, you got to back off. We'll maybe take a little bit of a peek. Siddach, Nichnas Yayin Yetzir Sod, Siddach Likras Purim, maybe we'll take a peek at one line. So let's take a look at both. So we'll start not with the Sod, but with the Nigla. The Sod will come. Parakafe, the beginning of Parshas Truma, or what the Ramban calls Seder. There's always such truth. If you ever hear people use the word sedra, timavr sedra, that's theoretically the more proper word for what we call the parsha of the week would be the sedra of the week. Parsha is a paragraph. So seder v'zos ha'truma, says the Ramban, ka'asher diber Hashem im Yisrael panim b'fanim asros ha'dibros, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke with the Jewish people and conveyed to them directly asros ha'dibros. Well, what's going on here? Why are we talking about Sarah Dibros? It's Parshas Truma. Going back to Yisro? Yes. Before getting to Pasuk by Pasuk of Truma, he wants to put all of Truma into a bit of context. As I said before, we're already going to begin with a wider scope. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, at the time Matan Torah conveyed Sarah Dibros to Klal Yisrael. That was direct Nebuah. That's the approach of the Ramban. Sarah Dibros as a whole were direct nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Kal Yisrael. So, and then he continues to share, command more mitzvahs to the Jewish people via Moshe Rabbeinu. Some mitzvahs, kamo others, they're like those who learned about the Kama last year. Others, Machal Deka told us, the mitzvahs that Hashem gave after that says that there were like avos for all the mitzvahs. What's he talking about? What parasha is he talking about? Parasha's Mishpatim. Right? He gave us one line summary of Yisrael and a one line summary of Mishpatim. He said in Yisrael there was a direct nevuah when Kadosh Baruch Hu declared Yisrael as says that there was Mishpatim is, we would say, more mitzvahs. So Ramban is giving in just one line, giving us a whole other spin. Not just more mitzvahs, but Kadosh Baruch Hu laid out for Kal Yisrael sort of the Rashi proper of mitzvahs. I'm going to give you a sense, not going to give all the Tariq mitzvahs right away, but give you a sense of what are the headings, what are the categories, what are the types of mitzvahs you're going to come across. And so he says, the Ketzas mitzvahs that Hashem teaches through Moshe, Eilev Hashpatim HaTassim Uvnayim, Hashpatim is what Hashem is teaching Klal Yisrael, but via Moshe Rabbeinu, not directly on Har Sinai, not like Aseret HaDibros, not directly to Jewish people or something. They're not just some mitzvahs. It was already a sampling of the smorgasbord of mitzvahs. You think about it in a chanami. A mishpatim begins, as we spoke about last Thursday night. A mishpatim begins with after Eved and Amma, you get to a lot of
Dini Mamanus, a lot above Akam, above Mitzia, but then you circle back around to Kachim, and you have Moed, and you have Zram, you have a little bit of everything, and that's intentional. And as a matter of fact, he says, not only is that intentional, we do it too. What do you mean we do it too? Kasher hinihigu rabo seinu imagerim shibayim lehis yahed. That's the standard practice that Chazal instituted when a non-Jew wants to misyahed. Wants to? Where is that? Why is it? Why is that word in Yad Yoma? Rabbi me'amei ha'aretz misyahadim. To become Jewish, to become a Yehudi, that word comes from the Megillah. So Ravan says, throughout the generations, before, during, or after Megillah's Esther, when a non-Jew wants to become Jewish, so the essence, there are several steps to the process. The essence of Gerus, of course, is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvah, is that you want to step into this obligation. You want to be a member of this club. You want to be a part of this culture. And you know there are going to be a whole host of mitzvahs you're going to keep. The ger doesn't... Now, but how do you do that? Does the ger go through every single mitzvah? Said, so do you want to... You come with a list of tariq mitzvahs? Said, so do you want to do this? 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 No. Of course not. So strictly speaking, min ha-Torah, the ger could just say, I accept all of halacha. But Chazal Masakin, that you're not going to go through every single detail, but you don't just do it generally. You also give him... You give him or her, you give the ger or the gioras a number of sample mitzvahs. Just to explain, a ger will spend a year or two or more learning loads of halacha before becoming a ger. Because the moment you come out, you emerge from the mikveh, you're chayiv and everything. But what we're talking about here is the ger is, the prospective ger is neck deep in the mikveh. And they say to the ger, you know... You already underwent Mila, you're about to have Tvila. We say we're going to do a formalized Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs right now. And we have a kind of, there's a conversation, have them, around 10 questions. Do you accept to be Emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you accept to keep Tum Shabbos, this mitzvah, that mitzvah, easy mitzvahs, hard mitzvahs, and then we say, and there are many other mitzvahs, you know, Yosem Asher Kasev, Kris Lif Nechem Kasev Kan. There's plenty more we haven't spoken yet. Do you accept Kol Tarku? And it says, yes, okay, go into the mikvah. It's the last chance. You can back off if you want to, or go into the mikvah and you'll emerge Jewish. So that formalized Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, that we don't only say, I do a Mekabal everything, we go through a sampling as well, that comes from last week's Parsha. That's Parshas Mishpatim. So Rabban says, we just had Yisro Mishpatim, we just had Hashem teaching mitzvahs to Jewish people directly in Yisro, Aseres HaDibros, and Hashem then goes on to give them a sampling as part of the original Geirus process. The original process, many of the halachas of Geirus are built on the model of Mamad Har Sinai, the original Geirus, so to speak, when a couple million Jews became Jewish. After all of that, why does Truma, Rabban wants to know, why is the next step Truma. Every ger is supposed to build a mishkan. You're supposed to build a shul. After you come out of the mikveh, you go build a shul. What does this mean? Why is truma next? He says, "No, I'll explain it to you." Yisrael kiblu aleim lasos kol mashiyit tzavein al yadosh shel Moshe. The Jewish people accepted not only those mitzvahs, but whatever Hashem will teach us via Moshe Rabbeinu. Those words were, what did the Jewish people say? In order to say that? Nasev and Ishma. And whenever it's coming up the pike, we're ready with Kabbalah. Now, the Chor Sivan Brisal calls that. And here's a key step. It wasn't just mitzvahs. It wasn't just a lot of details. There are a lot of details, but the goal wasn't just a lot of details. A lot of details. The minutia of halacha were the basis for a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. There was a covenant. Now, Bris Al calls that the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Me'ata hinehim lo la'am v'hu lahem le'lokim. It's much more than just details. What those details launched is the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. We're his nation. He's our God. Kasher hisnaim ha'metchila. And that's what Hashem had told Klal Yisrael from the get-go. When the process of Matan Torah began, he said there are going to be a lot of details, but it's much more than just details. Im shamoa tishmu'u b'kolli u'shmatem es brisi. If you're willing to listen to the mitzvahs, and you're willing to keep this bris, this obligation to you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yisimli skula, you'll be a exalted people. Atem tiyuli ha'malachas konim v'gai kadosh. You'll be a holy people.
It's not just details. The details of your prayer relationship. The details are going to totally fundamentally change the status of Klal Yisrael. And that is why the Rabban says, "Truma comes now." Inehim kedoshim ruuyim sheyilahem mikdash lahashrosh shkinasol benehim. So now that we underwent the process of Mamma Har Sinai, not only do we now have like a lot of specifics, a lot of mitzvahs, but we are different people. We're different people now. We're the sort of people who make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can move in, so to speak, among us. And he can have a work address in Olam Hazeh to be in the center of Klal Yisrael. Rochein Tziva Tchila Al Dvar HaMishkan. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Mishkan, tells us about the Mishkan, and the first, what's the first thing he says about the Mishkan? I'll be asking before we started. What's the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash? All Rambam, you're opening up your eyes and looking at the Chumash. That's what he says. Yeah. Either because you looked in the next line of Rambam, or because like the Rambam, you looked in the next line of Chumash. Because many of us would have said, in the fact that we've shown him, perhaps Rashi, who say, the primary function of Beis HaMikdash is to be a place of bringing Rambams. You have Beis HaMikdash, you bring Rambams. Matter of fact, you open up the Rambam's Sefer Avodah, the first of the two svarim dedicated to Karbanos. And the first topic is building a Beis HaMikdash. The second topic is having Kohanim Levi'im and how you clothe the Kohanim, the Big Day Kohuna. And then he goes on to talk about how you bring Karbanos. It would be very logical to say the goal of a Beis HaMikdash, the goal of this Beis is to bring Karbanos, the goal of a Beis HaMikdash. The place to bring Karbanos, that's to bring Karbanos anywhere. You're going to make a place that's dedicated to bring Karbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avon says, I totally disagree. And he said, he already very subtly showed us two different reasons why he disagrees. He just said, just now, says, you'll notice, Tziva Tchila Advar HaMishkan, the first thing Hashem says in Parshas Truma about actually making the Mishkan, first he asks for donations, and it's perhaps the only time in recorded history that fundraising effort was so successful that they had to advertise, please stop giving. That's what it says in the Parsha. It said, please, we have more than enough, stop. Right. It's hard to know how many other times that's happened in history. But then, once that Kodesh Baruch Hu actually gets down to the Mishkan, what's the first thing he says? First thing he says is not, you're going to bring karbanos. You haven't heard a word about karbanos. Right? Make a mikdash. That's what is the, how do we translate the word mikdash? So mem, yeah, a place of kedusha. And the mem, when you study Arabic or if you study Hebrew, mibachutz, you discover that words that nouns that begin with a mem often that's a locative mem, or in Arabic a locative mim. It's a place of. Mikdash is a place of Kedusha. Mishkan is a place of Shrina. Medrash, based on Medrash, is a place of learning. There are a number of other examples also. Now your eyes are open, you'll notice. Just like there are binyanim in verbs. There are also Mishkan. Now, anyhow, Mikdash is to make for me a place of Kedusha so that there'll be a Mishkan, B'shachanti B'sochem. So that Kodesh Baruch Hu, so I can move in, so to speak, among you. So there can be a place of staging ground for greater Giloy Shema. That was the first thing. Ba'is v'sochem v'kudosh l'shmo. V'sham yidaber en Moshe. That's going to be a place where there's going to be Nevuah, where Hashem is going to continue to give Nevuah to Moshe, and through Moshe, Yitzavez b'nei Yisrael, to continue to transmit Mitzvah to Klal Yisrael. That's the first Rashi in Parshas Vayikra. That over the course of the years and the decades in the Midbar, Hashem continued to teach Moshe Rabbeinu, and the sound would come out, Moshe would stand in the Ohel Moed, and the sound would emerge from on top of the Arad, from the Bein Shnei HaKruvim. That's what it says in the sixth parasha. That's what says Rashi talks about again by Yikra. And that's what we say at the very end of Parshas Naso, and the Kriya for Zos Hanukkah, by Yishma Sakol. So that's interesting. We haven't heard anything about Karbanos yet. We heard about Mitzvah should be a place for Hashem to serve Gilu Shechina, Mitzvah should be a place for Nevuah, Mitzvah should be a place for teaching Torah. Where are the Karbanos? That's not point Ramban, the main point. Iker, and he says in Beferish, Hine Iker Achetet to B'mishkan Mekom Menuchas HaShechina, Shehu HaAram. the main point, the main dish here is
that Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has a staging ground, a place of greater Gilu Shechina, and therefore the main kli in the Beis HaMikdash is the Aron. And he says that's why Parshas Truma is arranged the way it is. It starts not with the Mizbeach. Mizbeach comes later. And starts with the Aron, because that's the main point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe up front that Nevuah is going to, the sound that you're going to hear, B'Shas Nevuah, is going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the sound emerging from atop the Aron. And that's why the Aron Kaporas come first. Ki hu mukdam b'mala. That's most important. That's most significant. And then he says, and then we work our way outwards to the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach and the walls and the roof. But that all comes later. Practically speaking, Parshas Vayakel, Ramban goes on to say, when Moshe actually gives instructions to the Jewish people, and then when we hear Bezalel actually captaining the effort to build the Mishkan, so it's the actual construction, the walls had to come first. Because practically speaking, you're not going to have an Aron and have nowhere to put it. So you're only going to fabricate the Aron once there's a place, a proper place to have it. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches to Moshe, it's a different order. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conveying to Moshe conceptually. Here's what's most significant. The main point is the Aron. Practically speaking, in terms of implementation, you're going to make the Aron later. Okay. But Li'olam Vod, the main point of it all, you know, just like you think about, if you ever watch those videos, sometimes the videos of bands at weddings will show a lot of the setup. So you get to see sort of what the wedding hall looks like, you know, 3 hours before start time, 5 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours before, so you see everything getting set up. Right? So the people who are there first are not the protagonists of the show. The people who are there first, taking care of lighting, taking care of sound, they're key, but the chasna is not about the sound guy. As a matter of fact, if it's the chasna of the sound guy, he's not doing sound 8 hours earlier. Right? The sound guy is critical, but he's in a supporting role. The chasna is about the chasn kala, or about chasn kala's parents, depending on your perspective. Right? But you get everything set up in advance so that the key thing can actually happen. The walls were created first so that you could properly lay out an Aron, but the point was the Aron. So Rabban already told us the main point of the Mishkan is not Karbanos. The main point of Mishkan is to be a place of Shechina, to be a place of Gilu Shechina. Menelef, there's a place that's dedicated to Gilu Shechina, it's the most logical place to bring Karbanos as well. But Mishkan is much more than just Karbanos. That's why the Aron comes first. That's why the Sukkim begin, V'asuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'socham. It's meant fundamentally as a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have an address, so to speak, in Olam Hazeh. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaOlam Kavodo, but a place where it's easier for us to interact with him. He's more accessible to human beings. That's going to the Makam Shechina. That's the goal, the purpose, the definition of a Mikdash. And not only is that why the Aron comes first in the list in Truma, and that's why the opening statement, the thesis statement, is V'asli Mikdash V'chanti B'socham, the Ramban already just explained a third thing, and there are more things to come. But what he already explained is that's why Parshas Truma comes right after Yisro Mishpatim. Why all of a sudden is now the time to start bringing karbanos? No. He says, Yisro Mishpatim was Matan Torah, which was two things, content and relationship. Mitzvahs, lots of mitzvahs, and more to come. But more than merely mitzvahs, mitzvahs created a unique status for Klal Yisrael, a unique kedusha for Klal Yisrael, a unique relation for Klal Yisrael. So now you're ready to have to house the place of Gilu Shechina. And there's even more. Because the connection between Yisro Mishpatim into Truma, having to do with understanding what the Mishkan is all about, is much more than just Karbanos. It takes us back to the very beginning. Let's turn back to the Hakdama Tishmos. The Hakdama Tishmos, I think I may have mentioned some of you outside. The Hakdama Tishmos, Ramban wants to know, what is Shmos? And if you can figure out what Shmos is about, if you could give me one phrase, a one-phrase summary, what is Shmos about? the facts ought to fit. So once again, the Ramban in Hagdam and Shishmos backs up a little bit to put things into perspective. So we get an added bonus in the Hagdam and Shishmos. You get in 2.5 lines an unbelievable summary of all of Sefer Bereishis. Take a look. Hishlim HaKasov Sefer Bereishis. We're about to start Shmos. Where are we at? We just completed Sefer Bereishis. Shehu Sefer HaYitzira. Bereishis is the book of creation. Genesis. That's not just a non-Jewish name. It's a very Jewish name. Sefer Nitziv points out at one point all the names that Chazal had for the Svar, they didn't use Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Midbar, Dvarim. The names that they used tend to correspond, what we think of as the English names or the Latin names for the Svarim are based upon Chazal's names for the Svarim. So Bereishis, as an example, Leviticus, sounds so gayish, right? Also sounds so bizarre. What does it even mean? Right, it means Torah, what Chazal called Torah's Kohanim, right? Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Deutero is two. Deuteronomy is Mishnah Torah. Numbers. So Nitziv points out in the Hakdama to Sefer Bamidbar that Chazal don't call Bamidbar Bamidbar. The Mishnah is referred to Bamidbar as Chumash HaPekudim, the Chumash of counting, the book of numbers. Why that's so significant is a good question, which he talks about in the Hakdama to Bamidbar, not for now. But now let's come back to Genesis. He says, Bereishis is Sefer Yetzirah. It's a book of creation. Now you might be wondering, it's not that much creation. I mean, it's the first topic, but most of Bereishis is not about Bria Sa'olam. So he says, no, mamash from beginning to end, all of Bereishis is Sefer Yetzirah. Watch. Again, Kedarga Bakodesh, just a few phrases, builds the whole picture. It's Sefer Yetzirah, Bechidu Sha'olam, the Yetzirah's called Nozer. Number one, creating the creation of the universe, Kedushah. Number two, creation of humanity and civilization. Think about Parshas Noach. And then, from Lech Lecha and on, it's the third aspect of creation, is the creation of the Jewish people and Jewish history. Because, as he tells us, the events of the Avos, as we saw repeatedly, we were learning Ramban and Sefer Bereishis, Maisa Avos Simul Abanim, the few select events, episodes in the lives of the Avos that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to put in Chumash are those events which were not only a part of their lives but were a nevuah for Klal Yisrael. Maisa Avos Simul Abanim, Sheim Ki Yitzira Lazaram. It was a sort of creation for us. And they should call Mikrehem Tziurei Dvarim Lirmoz Lahodia Kol Asil Avolahem, because all the events that are described of the lives of the Avos are described in Chumash are remuzim to what's going to happen to the Jewish people in the future. So he says, that's Sefer Bereishis. It's the book of Genesis. It's creation of the universe, creation of humanity, creation of the Jewish people. Up until the very end. And now, Achar Shehishlam HaYitzira, now that we completed those three elements of Bria and Sefer Bereishis, and now we're going to go on, Sefer Acher, B'inyin HaMaisa Abomin HaRemuzim. Now we expect to hear, for the rest of Chumash, what are some of the events that happened afterwards that were merumas in Bereishis. Bereishis was the Maisa Avos, and now we want to see what happened to the Banim. Specifically, that's going to be Shemos, Vayikra, Mimibar, and Devar. But specifically, Nizyachet Sefer Ve'el, what's Ve'el Shemos about? Be'inyin HaGolos HaRishon HaNigzar B'Feirish U'Ve'Geula Mimenu. It's going to, Shmos is going to look at the first galus, which was Nigzar Beferish. What do I mean Nigzar Beferish? Right. That's the only one that appears explicitly in Chumash. The other later galios are Merumas in Maisa of a similar banim, but only galus Mitzrayim was said explicitly in the Pesukim. That was the Bris Ben Abzarim. So we're going to, Shmos is going to be about galus Mitzrayim and Geula. Sefer HaGalus VaHaGeula. The book of Exodus, right? Exodus means leaving. The book of Geula, Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's Sefer HaGolos VaGeula. Here's the problem, though. There are two problems with this theory. Rabban says, if Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGolos VaGeula, one problem he has is that it starts too early. The first couple of psukim of Shmos take you back to the middle of Vayigash. Ve'el Shmos b'nei Yisrael, Havoy Mitzrayma, Eis Yaakov, Yishuv Esobo, Reuven, Shimon, etc. The first couple of psukim, not only do they seem repetitious, like we know who came down to Mitzrayim, we know there was Shivim Nefesh, we learned about that already in Parshas Vayigash, but we're snapping back around 7 decades. Bereishis ends with the death of Yosef at the ripe old age of 110. How old is Yosef HaTzadik when his family comes down? He's a little shy of 40. Shemos begins by jumping back to the middle of Vayigash, jumping back over 7 decades, briefly, to talk about the Jewish people going down to the Mitzrayim, and then we continue to pick up where we left off, in the Vayichi, that the Jewish people are growing in Mitzrayim, and they're Meshubit in Mitzrayim, da, 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 da. So what's the first couple of Pesukim all about? It's a very odd opening. It seems repetitious, and it seems anachronistic. It's out of order. What's going on? So Rabban says that has everything to do with what Sefer Shmos is about.
That's his first question, that Shmos starts too early. He said, no. Lachem, that's why Chazor Hizkel B'Shmos Yorgim Mitzrayim U'Misvara. That's why I went backwards in time to briefly begin with the names of the people coming down to Mitzrayim, or at least the heads, the Shvatim, the young people, the grandchildren, U'Misvara. So we give you the highlights, Yaakov and his sons, and the overall number. Why? It was already written in Vayigash. Bavur, you know why? He read the Sam Shamu Rishis Hagdolos Kiryazukal. Because the Sefer Shmos is the Sefer Hagdolos, the Hagula, so we need to see the Gullus. We need to see that we were here, we need to see you going down in. The Gullus already happened in Parshas Vayigash. Yaakov and his family went down to Mitzrayim Parshas Vayigash. This isn't just Sefer Hagula, it's Sefer Hagalos Vagula. So that's why very briefly, the Chumash very briefly backs up and reminds us again, Mamish, in the shortest possible summary of the going down to Mitzrayim. And now we're going to talk about the deeper into Shibud, then the upswing. But here is problem number two. If Shmos is really Hagalos Vagula, you might be wondering, Rebbe, why are we doing this now, Parshas Truma? Like, this was a why. We could have learned this a while ago. The answer is because his second question,
if this is safe for Shmos,
from Shmos to Pikude, the Ramban's first question is that the first couple of psukim seem out of place.
Okay.
But his second question is that the second half of Shmos seems out of place. If Sefer Shmos is the book of Exodus, is Golos and Geula, how many parshas belong in Sefer Shmos? Shmos, Va'era, Bo. You see this Mitzrayim? So DJ says, well, B'shalach also. Good, we'll give you B'shalach. After all, that was the Hashlama of the Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? It's only after Kriyas Yamsuf that Kalal Yisrael know that their exodus from Mitzrayim is going to be permanent. They're not going to be pulled back in the next couple of days. Okay, and that perhaps we've discussed maybe is why Kriyas Yamsuf Shvi'u Shal Pesach is a part of the same Yontif as Mishnah Shal Pesach. Right? That was the Hashlama of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so far we have Shmos, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach. 2/3 of the Shmos, of Sefer Shmos, doesn't belong. So maybe you'll tell me, okay, Yisrael Mishpatim also. I'll give you Yisrael Mishpatim too, because we can talk about the following notion more when Pesach draws closer. The goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim was not an ends in and of itself. The political freedom that Jewish people got from Yitzias Mitzrayim was a means to come to spiritual freedom at the time of Matan Torah. Okay, the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to get to Har Sinai. So, fine. Sefer HaGolos Vagula is going to include Shmos, Va'era, Bo, B'Shalach, Yisrael Mishpatim. But still, we are in the wrong place. We are in Parshas Truma. Truma, Tetzaveh, Vayakel, Pikudei, they don't belong in Sefer HaGolos Vagula. Done. As I mentioned a couple minutes ago, the Rambam in Sefer Avodah opens with essentially Truma Tetzaveh and then Vayakel Pikudei and then Vayikra Tzaveh Shmini. The Ramban opens Sefer Avodah with Beis HaBechira and with Klei HaMikdash Ra'ov Dimbo, and then he gets to Karbanos. Truma Tetzal V'Yakov Pikude, Mishkan V'Gde Kuna, and then V'Yikra Tzav Shmini. The details of Ha'yipri Karbanos. That would have been very logical. We said before, Chazal referred to V'Yikra as what? Torah's Kohanim.
The Torah's Kohanim should have started from this week's Parsha. We should have had a Chazak last week. You're done with the end of the Mishpatim, gives you the second half of the story of Yitzias of Mamad Har Sinai and the Krisas Bris. Good! Chazak, Chazak, Viniz, Chazek. We're done with the second Sefer, Sefer Galus Vagula. Instead of calling it Sefer Yikra, it should have been called Sefer Truma. That would have been so logical, no? The third Sefer is about Karbanos. You begin with making the Mishkan and the Big Dikuna, and then you get into all the details of an Ola and a Mincha, a Shlam, and so forth. Why is this part of Sefer Agalos Vagula? The second half of the Sefer does not belong. It's a question you would only ask yourself if you're thinking in the global perspective Ramban has. If you're only learning Pasuk by Pasuk, you would never be bothered by this question to begin with. But once you look at things with a bigger picture, you zoom out sometimes. Sometimes you have to zoom in, sometimes you have to zoom out. When you zoom out, at bird's eye view, you say, whoa, half of this, what is Sefer Shmos about? Really, it's Galus Vagula? The first half is, not the second half. Says the Ramban, He says, based on what he wrote in Sefer Truma, it works perfectly. Take a look inside. Osios Machimos, Rabbi Osai.
Take a look inside. The Ramban will absorb better. And a little letter number 6. He already explained that in order to see Golos, you have to back up, the first Abzugim back up to the going down to Mitzrayim. There's this Vihine HaGolos Einenu Nishlam Ad Yom Shuvam El Mekomam.
The Golos will only be completed as Shemos backs up to the high point in Mitzrayim, in Eretz Yisrael. Then we see the Yerida down into Mitzrayim, and then we start to come out. We start to come out physically, politically, and then we get Mamad Har Sinai, and we get the Torah, and now we're Goy Kadosh, and then are we done? He says no. Golos is not done. Geula is when Milas Avosim Yeshuvu. Geula is when you get back to the Madrega of the Avos, getting back to the high point you were at before. How do you get back to that high point? Geshiyotzim Mitzrayim. Geshiyotzim Beisavad. Come on, Mitzrayim. So we're politically free, but we're still Golem Be'eretz. We're still in Golos. Number one, Hayu Be'eretz Lo Lehem Nevucha Midbar. Initially, we weren't even settled in the Midbar, the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach. But then they come to Har Sinai, they make the Mishkan. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes and is Masha Shechina So Beinehem. Not enough to have Har Sinai in order to have Geula either. It was only when you also had the Mishkan, because that's when you had a permanent Hashra'as Hashchina. Az Shavu El Ma'alas Avosam Shayesod Eloka Alei Aleim. That's when they got back to the original Madrega, the Avos in Eretz Yisrael. They had Hashra'as Hashchina in their homes. The Jewish people got the Torah, that was the next step, but ultimately it was to get the Torah so that you can have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you can have a permanent Hashra'as Hashchina. And the Az Nechshavu Geulim. And that's why the Sefer goes all the way until the very last Parakim Pikudei says that they actually built the Mishkan, all the pieces, and then they put it all together, and still not done, almost done, and then the Torah says, and it actually worked. They actually, what I mean it actually worked? Not that they were bringing Karbanos, there was a Hashra'as Hashchina. That's the last two Pesukim in Parashat Pikudei. There's a Hashra'as Hashchina, the Mishkan worked, and that completes the, if you care to look at it like this, the cosine curve of Sefer Shmos. It backs up to the high point in Eretz Yisrael, then you watch Geula going down, then you come back up, and Geula is when you finally get back to that point where you had been originally before Golos. And that's the Mishkan working, L'shitas HaRamban, that the purpose of the Mishkan is not Hakravas Karbanos. That's an afterthought. The purpose of the Mishkan is Hashra'as Hashchina, to recreate what the others had, and finally, to recreate what they had just had at Har Sinai. Ramban writes later in Vayakel, but the hour's very late. Ramban writes later in Vayakel that one last point is a methodological machlokas between Rashi and Ramban. Now, the Gemara comments
based on Pesukim Bamidbar, that sometimes you say, Ein mikrayot,
Ein mukta mu'ucher batorah.
Sometimes there'll be Pesukim that are out of, chronologically out of order of Chumash. Ein mukta mu'ucher batorah. Rashi applies this very broadly, including in Parshas Kisisa, to Parshas Kisisa. The truth is, Sava Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu about making a Mishkan, about making big Mishkan. But Yaakov Pikudei is when he actually tells it to the Jewish people and they do it. What happens in between? Parshas Kisisa. What's the major story in Parshas Kisisa? What's the major crisis? Chet Ha'egel. When did the Chet Ha'egel occur? So Rashi thinks that the Chet Ha'egel occurred before Truma Tesava. Rashi says, if Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to have it right after Mamre Hasina, it's embarrassing to Jewish people. We have a little bit of a buffer. But Rashi says, historically, first they had the Chet Ha'egel, and then Hashem said, ooh, Azachet, you're going to need a place to bring karbanos, to get kapara. Rashi, and that's the, sort of the source, Ashitas Rashi, that Mishkan is primarily a place of karbanos, and a reaction to the Chet Ha'egel. But the Ramban says, no. Ein mukta mu'ucher batorah, the Ramban thinks, is much more limited. He's not willing to apply as liberally as Rashi does. So he says, the psukim, the events happen the way they're described in Sefer Shmos. What does that mean? Truma Tetzava is not a reaction to Kisisa, according to Ramban. Truma Tetzava, as he's been explaining, was a positive reaction to Yisro Mishpatim. And that's what the Ramban, I promised we would learn a line of Kabbalah. So we'll end with that. Take a look back in Parshas Truma. V'sod HaMishkan. Underlined. V'sod HaMishkan. He goes on for many, many lines, but let's learn one. Shehakavo Yashar Shochan Al Har Sinai Shochen Alav Benister. That the deeper meaning of the Mishkan is that the same Kavod, the Shechina that was Shochein on Har Sinai, Shochein Olav Benistar. That Shechina that you had at Har Sinai would be in a more hidden way in the Mishkan. Without getting too deep in, just to stick our toes in, what Rabban is saying is that the Truma Tetzava came after Yisro Mishpatim, not only because now the Jewish people were ready, now that they had the Mekabel the Torah and had the Bris, now there were Bai Kadosh who were ready and capable of having Hashra'as HaShechina, having a Mishkan, but the Mishkan actually was a continuation of Har Sinai. What was Har Sinai? An extraordinarily intense Gilui Shechina. Incredibly intense and totally permanent. The Meshoch HaYovel, Hemi Al-Bar, right? So you can say, if you're going to Har Sinai during Mamre Har Sinai, Mamre Shechir Misa. But when it was all over, it was all over. The shofar blows, Mamre Har Sinai is over. Hey, me, I'll go ahead and walk on Har Sinai. There was no lasting Kedusha whatsoever. Zero. The Gilui Shechina of Har Sinai was incredibly intense, but totally ephemeral. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you a way to keep that going. I'm going to give you a way to make that permanent. It cannot be permanent in such an intense way. You can't have Mamre Har Sinai forever. But as he says, the same kavod, which was Shochein Har Sinai, will be Shochein on the Mishkan Benista. It's going to be a little bit hidden. I mean, there were open Nistar in the Mishkan. There was a cloud came down from the Shemayim. Now, we wouldn't call that Nistar, but it was less, it was a lower level, less expressed than in the Har Sinai. But it's going to be less intense, but much more permanent. That was the goal of the Mishkan, was to mamshich the initial Gilui Shechina of Har Sinai in a more permanent, lasting fashion. So he says, it's not like Rashi says that Mishkan is really about primarily about Karbanos, and Mishkan historically was a reaction to the negative of Kisisa, and that really Truma Tetzava happened after Yaakov Pikudei. Ramban says, no, Truma Tetzava is a positive reaction to and a positive continuation of Yisro Mishpatim, of the Kedusha and of the Gilui Shechina. And that's what he writes in Vayakel. Moshe didn't get a chance to tell it to the Jewish people until later. Rashi thinks that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu about the Mishkan
Truma Tetzaveh is when Hashem tells it to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi, that only happens the second time on Har Sinai, the third time on Har Sinai, after Shviras Haluchos. But Ramban says no. It's written before Kisisa because it happened before Kisisa. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the first time on Har Sinai, you're going to build a Mishkan. Nothing to do with Chet, as a positive reaction to and continuation of what the Jewish people had at Har Sinai. He should have, according to Ramban, come down on Shivas Betamos and told them, let's build a Mishkan. But instead, that got derailed, and that got postponed, because he comes down on Shivas Betamos and has to break the Luchas, and then needs to fix everything up. And finally comes down a third time from Har Sinai on Yom Kippur and says, okay, now let me tell you what Hashem had taught me months ago. This is the original plan. Now you're finally zocha, as Ramban writes at the beginning of Kibayakil, now you're finally zocha to go back to the original plan, positive plan, of a Mishkan, which therefore squarely belongs in Sefer Shmos. We'll get to Karbanos later. Karbanos is a topic of Torah's Kohanim, Sefer Vayikra. We'll get to that later. And it happens to be, once you have a place that's dedicated to Gilui Shechina, it's obviously also the most logical place to bring Karbanos. But that's not the primary goal of the Mishkan. The primary goal of the Mishkan was to move forward and complete the relationship and the Gilui Shechina, which is why it is very much a part. The Geula was only complete when they actually had a way to stay in permanent, solid connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Soda loka alei aleim, and that's why Trumot Tzatzav Vayachal Pekudei, much more than just dealing with problems, it's the way it's supposed to be. And that's going back to the way it's supposed to be, going back to the natural, healthy state, is Geula, and the Rabban says that's why all of this, the second half of Shemos, Trumot Tzavak Pekudei, absolutely belongs to completing the story of Geula. It began in Bo, but it's only completed in Parshas Pekudei. So this is, said before, Machlokas methodology, how to read Psukim and the sequencing of Psukim. It's a Machlokas in terms of the meaningfulness of mitzvahs, and it's a Machlokas in terms of understanding the role of Mishkan, and it's in terms of the notion of taking very intensely inspirational experiences and figuring out how to make them permanent. That's incredibly lemaisa for us.